You should know that I have had this story pent up inside of me for 61 years. And I'm going to share it all with you tonight. So this story, to set the scene, takes place in a borough of New York known as Queens, New York, which is discrepantly also referred to as the Forgotten Borough, in a neighborhood known as Jamaica. Jamaica Estates, to be exact. Okay. And it was the first planned community in all of New York City. But it was actually the brainchild of the same engineer and developer that developed the subway. It was intended to be exclusionary and not inclusionary. Jim Rouse be damned. And the style of architecture was intended to fake you out into thinking that you were in an English town, okay? So kind of like Cotswolds, you know? So there was a lot of stucco. There was a lot of flagstone. There was a lot of stained glass windows, except for this one house that had kind of a cross between a Greek, sort of a Greco formal design with columns and a brick facade. Kind of reflective, a little bit of like Tara in Gone with the Wind. You know what I'm thinking? You know, like da 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 da. Okay, that kind of a look. And the cast of characters in Jamaica Estates in the early 1990s was kind of like the first act of Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Okay, so we had the funeral director that lived on one side of us. We had a Lionel train collector on the other side. There was one other token Italo-American family, the Bellettis, who owned the bicycle shop on Jamaica Avenue. There was the benevolent crossing guard. Okay. There was the IBM executive with the Irish triplets across the street. You know, Joan Francis, Barbara Lynn, and Lil Marie. And Lil Marie is, to this day, my best friend. And then there was this wealthy family down the street that lived in Tara, okay, we'll call it, da, 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 okay. And growing up in the early 1960s, the parenting style was a little different, okay. So there were, the discipline was strong but more lax on things. We were left to our own devices, okay. We learned through experience. To give you an idea, the monkey bars in my school were on a pavement, okay? All right? And in those days for me, I was a young kid. This was pre-street smart, because whenever I say to people, yeah, I'm from New York, they think I'm kind of like tough. But at that stage, I was naive, I was curious, and I was gullible. Now, when my parents bought this house, it was sheer coincidence that they found this house. They were living downtown on the Lower East Side, somewhere between Delancey and Essex Street, and they decided one day to take a ride on the Independence subway just to explore what was at the very terminus of the E and the F train. So they wander out, and there amongst the English Cotswold houses, appropriately, street names of Avon and Chelsea and Croydon and Wareham, right there on Midland Parkway, was a neglected house, overgrown lawn, with a for sale sign that had fallen over. And that was the house that my parents bought. Now, unbeknownst to them, the address of that house was one digit off from a very wealthy tycoon living in Tara. Da, 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 da. Okay. So it was not uncommon for the mailman innocently to deliver our mail to Tara, and we would get their mail. So on one of these instances, we got Blanche's Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog, and I was sent down the street to Tara to return this this Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. So up I go past the lantern-bearing jockeys over to the front. I ring the doorbell. Now, you should know, just a sideline descriptive, that my mother was still teaching downtown in this inner city as a first grade and second grade teacher. And in those days, the early 1960s, there was no such thing as multiracial basal learner readers. No such thing. And because Mom wanted material that was appropriate to the socioeconomics of her class for bulletin boards and so on, we always had a subscription to Ebony magazine. So off I go to deliver Blanche's Neiman Marcus catalog, and of course the housekeeper hands me Mother's Ebony magazine, and off I go. Now, I pass this house, Tara, on almost a daily basis. I passed it on my way to school. I passed it on the way to the post, to the mailbox. On one particular time, as the youngest of the family, it was one of my chores, was to walk to Hillside Avenue to the bakery. Now, anybody of Italo-American descent knows that a place setting in an Italian household has a third utensil, and that's known as a piece of Italian bread. So there I was with my 35 cents going down to Hillside Avenue, and I'm walking by Tara, and in the driveway is this ruddy-skinned, blonde, sort of yellow-blonde guy, a little older than me, with a hose in his hand. And in the driveway is a red Corvair. Not a Corvette, a Corvair. You know that mid-engine thing? Yeah, yeah. And he's getting ready to wash his car, and he looks up at me and he says, "Hey, kid, you want to help wash my car?" And because I was innocent, curious, and gullible, I said, "Oh, okay." So he hands me a rag, and he proceeds to in-service me on the intricacies of buffing the spokes on the hubcaps of this Corvair. So I finish my tour, I hand him the rag back, I go down to Hillside Avenue to get my my loaf of seeded semolina, and back I go. I didn't think much of this. Fast forward a couple of months, it's Halloween, 1963. Lil Marie Callanan and I are going out through the neighborhood, you know, Wareham, Avon, Chelsea, Dalney, you know, ringing doorbells, trick-or-treating. And there, at the corner of Midland and Croydon, is the same guy leaning up against a telephone pole. And he says, "Hey, kid, open your bag. Let me see what you got." And because I was innocent, curious, and gullible, I said, "Oh, okay." And I open my bag, and he proceeds to cull the best candy off the top. Out goes the Mary Janes and the Milk Duds and the Good and Plenties. Now, you may be wondering why I am fixated on this story about this neighborhood thug who made me polish his hubcaps and took my best Halloween candy. Because he went on to be the 45th president of the United States. Thank you for listening. Let me just give you a postscript. Let's fast forward to the future, okay? My best friend, Lil Marie Callanan, goes on to be a corporate attorney, lands a partnership in a white shoe law practice in New York City. I land an internship at Medical College of Virginia, get my RD. I've been a nutritionist in private practice for 30-plus years down here in Baltimore. The funeral director passes on. The house gets sold a couple of times. The Lionel train collector is still there in that area. Okay, I have no idea what happened to the benevolent crossing guard. But do you think Donald Trump has any recollection of that nubby-kneed, scrawny kid that he made polish his hubcaps and that he took Halloween candy from? Nah, I don't think so.
That's all I had. Thank you for listening.